Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for coming out so early and on this last day, so thanks for hanging with us. I'm an assistant professor at Washington University in the George Warren Brown School of Social Work. I've recently completed my postdoctoral studies at the University of California, San Francisco, Berkeley site with the Kellogg Health Scholars Program, and I did my doctoral training at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. Today I'll be talking to you about the relationship between racial discrimination and socioeconomic position on depression among a U.S. representative sample of Caribbean blacks. First, I have no financial relationships to disclose, although if people want to create those relationships, please feel free. I'd also like to begin by thanking my funders and mentors who've been outstanding to me and made it possible for me to be here, including the Kellogg Health Scholars Program, the University of Michigan Institute for Social Research, the University of California, San Francisco Center on Social Disparities in Health, as well as some of my esteemed mentors, Paula Redman, James Jackson, Harold Neighbors, Lynn Syme, and Nancy Adler. So we all know in this room that depression is a widespread, debilitating, costly problem. It's the fourth leading cause of disability worldwide, one of the leading causes of disability for Americans aged 15 to 44 in the United States. And depression is characterized by an assortment of debilitating and terrible symptoms such as dysphoria, feelings of sadness and depressed mood, loss of interest, as well as changes in sleeping, change in weight, fatigue, and other symptoms. But what's interesting about depression is when you compare it to physical disorder. So my background is looking at things from a disparities perspective. And when I started to look at this, the lack of disparities in mental health, particularly in depression, I was quite puzzled. So if you look at any large-scale psychiatric epidemiologic study in conducting in the United States, you usually find that whites report greater rates of depression than blacks. And so in some ways, that's good news in a way, because there potentially could be a disparity that favors whites opposed to blacks. But I started to think about, is this a real finding? Even though we see this consistently in all these large-scale major studies, is this a real finding? And what can explain this? So I started to think about other explanations. I want to talk about these today. We can run a whole conference. We can write entire papers. I'm sure some people in this room do work in differential diagnosis, addressing stigma, cultural differences that come in the form of patients reporting symptoms, as well as clinician bias and trying to pick those symptoms up. It could also be competing demands on the part of physicians or mental health providers that could explain these different rates of depression. But I was very interested in looking at the relationship between race and socioeconomic position, also known as SEP, that's what I'll call it from here on, and depression. So generally you find that studies indicate that there is, the more income you have, the more education you have, the lower your risk of depression. That's a pretty plausible and prevalent finding that we see in most mental health studies. But when we look within the subpopulation of African Americans in the United States, we don't see this relationship consistently found. So we don't find a consistent relationship between SEP indicators like income, education, I'll throw in the kitchen sink in, like wealth and subjective social status and other things. The relationship is still not consistent, still not clear. So I started to think, could this relationship be driving some of the findings that we see when we look at differential rates of depression? So the overarching question that I wrestle with is it possible that benefits presumed to be derived with increased socioeconomic position could be undermined by racial discrimination? So racial discrimination is a terrible experience. But what's interesting about African Americans, particularly in the United States, is that I'm sure you all are well aware that the United States is incredibly racially segregated. So as a result of that, some people who have the means, who have the resources, who have greater education, who have occupations that are of higher prestige, who make more money, who live in more affluent neighborhoods, who have more prestigious jobs, they're more likely to intermix with racially integrated settings. So it's possible that these African Americans who might be middle class, could have more exposure to racial discrimination than even poor blacks. And I think that's something that's unique that people are starting to pick up on and starting to try to explore, especially in the field of sociology. And we also know that it's a predictor of depression in African Americans. And so one of the papers that I wrote recently, I wanted to see how racial discrimination could potentially diminish the positive effects of income and education in African Americans. So this slide here shows that for African Americans, the highest income category, they had as racial discrimination scores go up, also increased odds of depression. But that's not what I want to talk about today. So we know that there's heterogeneity in the U.S. black population, something that people don't talk about as much, and it's often ignored. So 8% of the U.S. population, black population, is foreign-born, with Caribbean immigrants as the largest subgroup. And the previous presenter talked about this a little bit. But we don't know anything about the relationship between racial discrimination and the risk of depression. Well, we know very little. I shouldn't say we don't know anything, but we know very little about this relationship. What's unique about people coming from the Caribbean is often they're coming from a racially homogenous area. So people are coming to the United States and finding out, well, I'm black. I've never really thought about this before. And how people treat you differently based upon the color of your skin, where you're coming from, a place where everyone looks like you. So I'm very interested in seeing how that could play out in some of the work that I've done before. And so obviously racial discrimination has been identified as an important predictor of depression in African Americans. So I wanted to see what this relationship will be in Caribbean blacks. So the aim of this study was to examine whether the relationship between SEP and depression was moderated by racial discrimination among Caribbean blacks. And I hypothesized that the interaction between SEP and racial discrimination will be positively related to increased odds of depression among Caribbean blacks, similar to the slide that I showed you earlier for African Americans. So the data that I used were drawn from the National Survey of American Life, which is a national population-based sample drawn from the continental United States, featured in-home face-to-face interviews that lasted about 2 hours and 20 minutes. The sample has 3,570 African Americans, also has 1,621 Caribbean blacks. For Caribbean blacks, they identified as black as their race. And then they said yes to a question asking them whether they were from the West Indies or of Caribbean descent. The countries most represented in the NSAL from the Caribbean were Jamaica, Haiti, Trinidad and Tobago, Guyana, Barbados, and Puerto Rico. So these countries represent 75% of the sample. So for measures, I wanted to look at depression. So I looked at both 12-month and lifetime depression, using the CDI, which is the Composite International Diagnostic Interview. It's a semi-structured, very structured interview that people use to not just look at depressive symptoms, but to try to mimic a diagnosis of depression that a clinician or a mental health provider might arrive at. I looked at major discrimination using the acute discrimination scale developed by David Williams. I also looked at everyday discrimination here. I think it got cut off here. That was developed by ESSID. For SEP, I looked at education, so just years of education and household income, U.S. dollars. And then for data analysis, I used logistic regression models to estimate the effects of SEP and racial discrimination on odds of depression. And so I created interaction terms to generate interaction terms to examine whether racial discrimination moderates the influence of SEP on odds of depression. So, what did I find? First, just some demographics of the NSL Caribbean black population broken down by age. There's really no major significance in education. There's a significant difference in household income. The percent female is pretty consistent with those in the 35 to 54 range, composing the greatest amount. Unemployment or percent employed decreases over time, as you can see, with those in the greater than 55 years category least likely to be employed. And probably the most important feature on this slide is the percentage of U.S. born. So for people who are older, they were less likely to be born in the United States. They're more likely to be born from one of those six, probably from one of those six countries that I showed you earlier. And so comparing depression prevalence, looking at lifetime and 12-month depression, people who are, so Caribbean blacks who are U.S. born reported greater 12-month and lifetime depression than those who are foreign born. And for comparisons of racial discrimination, African-American or Caribbean blacks, I should say, I should correct myself for that. Those who had were born in the United States, Caribbean blacks who were born in the United States, reported greater levels of major discrimination and everyday discrimination compared to foreign-born Caribbean blacks. Importantly, we didn't observe any significant relationships between either measure of racial discrimination and SEP. So this table is just to show interaction between SEP, particularly income, and major discrimination. What's probably most notable here is that, so for African American, for Caribbean blacks, I did it again, for Caribbean blacks who were U.S. born, as levels of racial discrimination increased, those who had greater levels of income reported greater odds of depression compared to those who were poor. We didn't see this relationship in foreign-born Caribbean blacks. Again, looking at this is looking at major racial discrimination, and the caveat here is that we're looking at lifetime depression. The previous slide was looking at 12 months, so this is lifetime depression, and so you can see that similar relationship. Again, we see that as levels of racial discrimination increase for Caribbean blacks who are born in the U.S. Who have greater income levels reported increased odds of depression compared to poor blacks, and we didn't see that relationship for foreign-born. And then the final slide here that I'll show you is looking at everyday discrimination. And we see essentially the same thing. The thing that's different here is that foreign-born blacks also have the same relationship as U.S.-born blacks. So for everyday discrimination, these are like daily slights. Have you ever been followed in a store? Have you received poor service compared to someone else? You see a similar breakdown. So for both foreign-born and U.S.-born Caribbean blacks, as increases in perceived racial discrimination, greater levels of income are associated with greater odds of depression. So just to summarize, as reports of racial discrimination increase, greater levels of income were significantly associated with risk of depression among U.S.-born Caribbean blacks. Racial discrimination was associated with increased odds of depression, but there were not as many significant relationships or interactions between SEP and racial discrimination observed in foreign-born Caribbean blacks. So the conclusion that I came to is that experiences of racial discrimination could very well diminish protective effects of increased levels of SEP among U.S. born Caribbean blacks, similar to the relationship that we see in African Americans. Obvious caveats apply here. So this is a cross-sectional study. And here I only showed you, I didn't want to bombard you with all the findings that I have for education as well, so I didn't show you those things, but it's a similar story there for education. And then things that need to be done more in the future that I'm working on now is just to try to figure out also nativity status, so how many years people have spent in the United States, seeing how that varies, and not just looking at having been born in the United States and foreign-born. But there's a lot of different questions to explore from this work. So thank you all for your attention. I appreciate it.